Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello.
Out Now is a film podcast with Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also discuss the latest movie trailers, box office results, and predictions, a callback to past films similar to the main film of the week, games, and other fun stuff. This is episode 90, Abe,
or
90. And today we're talking, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so obviously there was one thing that goes to Super Bowl Sunday, and it's paranormal teen romance films. So, which is why we're talking about Warm Bodies. The new this is romantic comedy with zombies starring Nicholas Holt and Teresa Palmer. And joining us to discuss Warm Bodies, we have one of the main reviewers for Just Seen It, an aspiring actress and master trickster, the girl you won't find swooning over an emo zombie with a hoodie anytime soon, Brenna Smith.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing, Brenna?
Oh, I'm alright. I'm excited to talk about movies.
There you go. That's what
this show is, right? The movie show.
A little tap on the chin.
If there's a thing you wanted to be excited about talking about, movies is the correct answer. On
yes, Saturday. Yes, it is.
Okay, so there you go. All right, let's get to it. So some announcement things here. We got. I keep mentioning the 100th episode's coming up soon. We're at 90, right, Abe?
Whoa.
I just said that. So
I think we repeated that like 4 times.
Yeah. So just saying. 90.
He can be excited about it. That's a big milestone.
Yeah, so we're getting up there, and we're going to come up with something cool, I'd imagine, to do. So, yeah, stay tuned. Also, last year we did an Oscar nomination, a contest, actually, between us and some of the regular guests, right? We had predicting the Oscar noms, and then we had a wrap-up show afterwards. So we're probably going to do that again, so stay tuned for that. And some more commentaries, because we like them, or you guys like them, we just sit there and talk about movies, and you like them.
And we appreciate the support for you listening.
I started listening to our Street Fighter commentary that we did. It's kind of a bad movie,
but a good commentary.
Kind of amazing, yeah. I was impressed that we did that.
That's the entire definition of riff tracks.
Except,
we actually bring some knowledge on, too.
Knowledge, we drop into our commentaries.
Yeah. So you don't just make fun of it, you actually inform people.
Well, I try to make fun of it.
Yeah. big announcement. I gotta say this right now. This is, we don't tend to do news on the show. This is just about reviewing movies and making fun of things. But Fast and the Furious 6 finally got a title. We've been waiting.
Is it Fast and the Furious 6?
It is, in fact, Fast and the Furious 6. It's kind of.
Whoa.
Wow.
I was really hoping for Fast and Furious, but that was what I
Fast and Furious
Fast and Furious Fast 6, Furious 6. That would be good. So that's the official title.
What would you have wanted it to be?
I told you, Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious.
It'd be Fast and Fury, and then there'd be a
Fast and Furious.
It's a pity they don't ask you.
I know. I mean, I love I am a huge admirer of the people in charge of the title.
Did you read the tagline for the poster too?
Yeah,
all roads lead to this.
Oh my God.
Abe, again, you were making fun of me before Fast 5 came out, and I was convinced.
I'm not saying that Fast Furious 6 is not going to be good. I like Justin Lin.
He's been doing a good job.
He directed one of my favorite Community episodes.
Who's in it?
Community or Fast Furious 6?
I don't know who's in Community. Fast Furious 6.
Everybody,
and a host of new people.
Yeah, like, what's his name? Luke Evans, he's like in Immortals.
He's an immortal, he's Zeus.
Yeah, he's Zeus, he's one of the bad guys of this, and so is, I think Maxwell brought this up, one of the people from The Raid is in this movie, too.
Yeah, the sergeant in The Raid, Goldfish.
Michelle Rodriguez is back from the dead.
From the dead?
Yeah. The most intriguing thing.
Gina Carano?
Gina Carano's in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Tyrese.
I'm sure we'll talk about this next week after we get the new trailer, which debuts with the Super Bowl today. So
does the Iron Man 3 trailer.
Yeah, but we've seen Iron Man 3 trailers already. I mean,
yes, but this is a new Iron Man 3 trailer.
The Iron Man 3 poster did come out.
Yeah, maybe we'll get more information on who the Iron Patriot is.
It's a pretty cool
book. Looks just like that comic book.
There you go.
Yeah.
So moving on. Last thing before we get to the main show, iTunes reviews and ratings, happy to get those, really cool, helps out the show. We're at, I think, like, 12, something like that. If we could get to...
I thought you were going to say a bigger number.
We're at 85.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, there was a lot of likes.
Realistically, if we could get to, like, 15, that'd be great.
I thought 12 was shorthand for 12,000 or something.
Or before 100 episodes. Because everyone hates going on iTunes, that's why. But it helps out the show, though.
Yeah.
So, cool to get.
It's the worst program.
All right, so let's move on. Let's get to know everybody, where we try to ask each other a few questions and set the tone for the podcast. You better get to know everybody. And I'm going to start this one off this week. So I have a question for Abe.
Yeah.
What role in this movie could John Malkovich have substituted in for?
I think the bonies. He'd actually be a pretty good bonies.
like
all of them. Exactly. Just like being John Malkovich, except they're all dead now. Skeletons that eat anything.
Is that your question every week about John Malkovich?
It should be.
It should.
I gotta say that.
Is he a friend of the show yet?
Not yet, but
not yet.
I need to have an everybody bank.
Yeah, you were quite into that John Malkovich fellow.
All right, Bretta.
Ooh, yes.
In your zombie life, where would your home be? Considering that R is in a giant
747. Well, that's a tough question because I wouldn't be a zombie because I would survive the zombie apocalypse.
Oh. Just read the guide.
I've read the guide. I have an autographed copy.
And you've also got a kit, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. And my zombie plan, I'm going to Costco, so that's where I'll be. They've got metal shutters and all the food you need.
That's true, yeah. And those hot dogs are very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. And pizza.
That is one of the reasons, because the hot dogs are inexpensive in a world where zombies exist, but you're still paying for hot dogs.
Well, you have to keep your life regular so you don't go crazy, right?
Fair enough.
Hey, Brandon, you can ask a question to Aaron and I.
Okay. Let's ask Abe, because I already know too much about Aaron.
There we go.
Abe,
yep.
If you were in the zombie apocalypse, what kind of zombie would you choose to fight? The fast ones, the slow ones, the chemical ones, or the religious ones?
That's crazy, because I have a question very similar to that I was going to ask Aaron. I would be afraid to fight?
I guess asking if which one you'd like to fight is pretty obvious. You'd want the slow ones. So yes. Which one do you think would be the most fun to fight, or the one that would be most terrified to fight?
Well, I've played Left 4 Dead 2, and there are the boomers.
Oh.
Those guys are scary because they just burst.
You're speaking Brenna's language, by the way, when you mention Left 4 Dead 2.
They just throw up on you, and it's disgusting, and then they attract the horde. And so I think the chemical biohazard ones would be the most terrifying to fight.
You say that, but I say the witch. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, you could, like, sneakily go around her and just leave her
alone. Yeah, the boomers actually seek you out.
True enough, okay.
Yeah. And they pop, like, giant pus-filled pimples.
Especially when you have, like, the sniper.
It happens.
I love it when they fall off buildings because they're stupid zombies.
Yeah. I also like throwing the molotovs at them and just having them, like, blow up. It's like, take that! Alright. Aaron, I'm going to have to revise this question, but I'll ask it to you anyway.
Here we go.
Are you a fan of the fast-acting zombies or the slow-acting zombies?
You know that I'm a huge zombie fan in general, yep. So, like, it really doesn't make too much of a difference to me. That said, my favorite zombie movies are the ones where they do move slower, so I would, by default, have to say the slower zombies.
Okay.
But I don't have anything against the fast-acting zombies. The fast-acting zombies.
Yeah, these guys are...
fast out attack the zombies.
They've got athlete's foot. That's why they're going.
Exactly. Yep. They're always trying to find a cure. They keep running up and screaming at people. Help me!
John,
oh, your arm came off! No! Oh, God. All right, Brenna.
Mm.
What is next on the list of paranormal teen romance movies?
Ooh, we haven't really seen anything involving werewolves, but I think I'm holding out for, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon, or...
That was actually going to be my answer, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, or maybe some, like, old school classic monsters that nobody would love, like The Blob.
Blob's need love.
I would watch that.
So lonely that he needs everybody. So
That'd be the greatest teen sex comedy ever. It'd be just a great orgy going through the streets. I'd watch the hell out of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So is that everybody?
I think that's everybody.
Okay. Well, that's how you play. Know everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of TM, Abe, now it's time for Out Now Quickies.
TM?
TM. Out Now Quickies, each week we have movies that, well, each week movies come out, not a lot of them come out. We don't get the chance to talk about every single one of them because we like to focus on one, but there is a chance that we may have watched some movies, so we want to provide some quick thoughts on them, hence Out Now Quickies.
TM?
Thank you. Abe, do you have any quickies this week?
I haven't, but I finished The League Season 4. Very good.
Good job. Brenna, have you seen any other movies this week?
Nothing that doesn't come out for, like, 2 months.
Good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
I watched a few things. I've been watching House of Cards.
Oh.
Which we talked about.
Netflix.
It's the Netflix TV show that came out.
Did they release all episodes?
All episodes came out at the same time. So when that happens for Arrested Development, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to take a sick day that day.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing.
But, yeah, no, House of Cards, this is a show produced by David Fincher, and the first two episodes are actually directed by him, and it's starring Kevin Spacey, among a lot of other people, including your favorite Ernest Hemingway, Abe, Corey Stoll's in that movie.
That's right, yeah.
That TV show. It's quite good in it.
Does he have a mustache?
No, he's bald and hairless on his face. Mm-hmm. There probably is a better way to say that. clean shaven, perhaps. But, like, hairless on his face.
Hairless on his face.
That's it.
Did you ever talk about Do No Harm? Did you see Do No Harm?
I didn't watch Do You know what? I was sitting at home on Thursday night. And I was like, I could record this, and then I decided not to. So no, I didn't.
Millions of people just like you had the same thought, and it debuted with a 0.9 rating, the lowest for primetime drama.
You guys gave it a stream it, I believe, right?
We gave it a stream it. We gave it a stream it if they fixed some stuff.
Okay.
They're taking it way too seriously. It would be so much more amusing if it was, because it's this guy. It's like the scene in Spider-Man 3 when he's being the emo kid dancing the street after he gets the symbiote. And it's, but serious version of that.
I could watch it all day.
Yeah, so it would be much better if they just were being silly with it and fun and carefree and not like, I hate you. I hate you, alternate personality. I'm going to sabotage you. Here's some drug dealer's cocaine that I stole. Oh no, I'm a surgeon. I can't have drugs. So if they were sillier with it, I think it would be a lot more successful. But they're trying to be like, I think they're trying to fill the gap that House left behind.
I had always thought that, wasn't that premise already done with that one Christian Slater show, like that also bombed like a few seasons ago?
There's like 8 Christian Slater shows that get canceled every year.
Yeah, that's true. It's one where he's like playing like himself, but there's like a double of himself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lame.
But yeah, House of Cards, good show. I'm enjoying it so far.
Cool.
Speaking of Christian Slater, I also saw Bullet to the Head, which co-stars Christian Slater in a very small role, but is also the new Sylvester Stallone movie.
It's going straight to video.
Sorry?
The video vixens in it, yep. And girls in bikinis and stuff?
Yep, it's just nonstop that, because it's in New Orleans, so that's where that thing happens. I'm going to hold back my thoughts of Bullet to the Head right now, because I think Jordan Grout and I are going to tag the show with a little bonus review of Bullet to the Head. But in case that doesn't happen, and I feel like an idiot for saying that and something like that not happening, I'll just say it's a terrible movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Save you the idea. Yeah. Thanks. But more details on that later, perhaps.
I think it's going to be like an Oscar-worthy contender.
And not Super Bowl Sunday. Lastly, has anyone heard of a movie called Girl Walk All Day?
No.
No.
Okay, this movie is really cool. So basically, it was funded by like a Kickstarter campaign. It takes place all in New York during a day where it's just a girl and like two other people dancing through the streets set to the entire album of Girl Talks All Day. And so it's literally like they're just spontaneously dancing through New York. There's no dialogue or anything. It's just all music and them like just dancing in crowds. And it's really interesting to watch. So I kept going. It's like an hour.
Is it available on streaming?
Yeah, it's not on streaming yet, but it is all available online on their site, girlwalkallday.com. Okay. And like it'll eventually on Netflix once it comes out, I imagine. But it's like
look at their IMDb page. There's the girl, the gentleman, and the creep.
The creep. Yeah.
It's like, huh?
I'll put it in the show notes.
John Butters is in the movie?
No. I'll put it.
So what do the people who donated get? What kind of perks do you get with that movie?
I don't know. It was it came out like a year ago or like last year, I think. But
2011.
Yeah, but it finally started getting kind of, I guess when it was coming out piece by piece because it's separated by, they're like all like 6 minute segments and it's like 12, oh. It's like 12 parts, but now the whole movie's like available. So it's really interesting. I really enjoyed it though. I was like, I really like this. This is really fun.
Certainly want to check it out.
Yeah. That's Girl Walk All Day. I'll put that in the show notes for sure. So moving on, let's get to movie trailer talk, where each week we discuss some of the newest trailers and what we thought of them. And we got two trailers all right here. First one we're going to go into is called Upside Down. And this movie stars non-Asian Jim Sturgis and Kirsten Dunst as two people who are in love, but separated by planets, because they live on opposite planets that happen to be directly next to each other. So one is upside down. I don't even know how to describe this one. They're like two twin worlds, and the gravity's like separate. It's weird. It's a weird looking thing.
Have you seen the poster for it?
I'm looking at the poster right now.
It looks like it says upside moo. I was very confused when I first saw it, and then I was like, oh, they're trying to be clever.
Upside and moo.
Upside and moo.
Upside and moo.
It's probably more accurate title.
With that said, Retta, what did you think of the trailer?
I think it's just, I don't know. I think they might be trying a little too hard, just like their poster.
Abe, were there more thoughts coming from that?
No, it was just more
I'm kind of like that too. It's primarily because I think that we've kind of been let down with some of the latest like in time things and also some of the other sci-fi stuff. But I remember seeing this trailer like a while ago. I don't know why it's being released wide now. I do remember seeing it like, I don't know, a year ago or something like that. But it doesn't look all that crazy cool. It does look like they are trying a little hard in terms of the graphics and stuff, and the story doesn't seem to be all that compelling anyway. It's kind of just like Romeo and Juliet style stuff. So I don't know.
I think it's probably going to get buried in all the other sort of kooky, unique films we have with like that Will Smith movie that's coming out. What's that? After Earth?
This is coming out in March, and so like March is like a crazy month anyway. It probably would get buried.
I think it's probably not good. Maybe that's why they're releasing the trailer now. They're trying to get in there before all the other ones start advertising.
I guess. It did remind me of Another Earth. Anyone see that movie?
No, but that's like the better one than Sky, whatever, right?
Oblivion?
No. That's the one I'm thinking of, like, where it's the same premise. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Another Earth was the one where there's literally another Earth that just appears in this, and it's like a mirror image of Earth. But that's a movie I quite enjoyed, actually. But, Upside Down, I got the same kind of, like, this is neat, I guess, but we'll see. Upside Down comes out March 15th, 2013. I don't know why I say the year again. I keep doing that.
Because we're in a new year, Aaron. Come on.
I got it. Okay, the next trailer we're going to talk about, because we're all big James Franco fans, it's called Spring Breakers. this movie involves four college girls who are they basically rob like a someplace, like a restaurant, to fund their spring break, and lots of criminal activities ensue from there. I think the catch is that all four girls are all, they're all like, what, Disney princesses at some point?
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, so.
And also, what's her face? Vanessa Hudgens.
Well, all four of them were all like on Disney.
I think what's her face works for all of them, actually.
Yes, exactly. I would agree with that.
What's her face?
Sorry, what's your face? And what's your face? And also, what's her face?
Her face.
So, Abe, I know you're a big Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hudgens fan. What did you think of the trailer?
I am not. That is a lie. This movie looks awful. I am a fan of James Franco, but him being like his, I thought he was just being cool with like his southern slang, saying his name was like Alan, but Alan. And I look on the IMDb page, his name is like Alien. I'm like, what the? this is ridiculous. But the premise is that these four girls knock over like a shop just to fund their spring break, and then they get into even more crazy stuff. And I think it's supposed to like explore like the dark side of like suburban American culture. It's like, whatever. This is just trash.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to watch a bunch of white people steal money so they can party.
Exactly.
When other people have to steal money to live. But whatever.
I mean, there's like a quick snippet of like one of the girls like taking this giant black dude who's eating like down, and like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, when I first saw the trailer, I thought it was Kid Rock.
doing James Franco's role.
Yeah, I was like, what kid, what?
That would make more sense to me.
But no, it's like a chav James Franco. It's really kind of gross. But yeah, I never have interest to watch white girls partying. It's just something that's never appealed to me. And this looks like it's going to be like that, because I'm sorry, I'm not going to feel bad for you. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to have any sympathy for these girls. None whatsoever. When they get arrested and they're in the court in their bikinis, I'm like, yeah, good on you, justice system. Keep up the good work. So I think that I'm probably just going to hate this movie anyway.
I can agree with all that, but the reason I bring it up, or brought it up, or what sparked interest in me is because it's from director Harmony Korine, and she did Gummo, and she wrote Kids, and I'm like, that's a movie like this seems like there might be something more going on that I'm kind of intrigued by now, because those are some kind of dark movies.
Yeah, you certainly get that sense in the trailer, too. I mean, you know, the whole entire, like, oh, well, there's probably something more, but at the same time, it's like, eh.
I'm interested in seeing those girls in particular doing horrible, dirty things just because they're ex-Disney princesses. But that's probably the only reason I'd see it at this point. Mm. Also, half the trailer is, like, black.
Yeah.
It's so dark. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, it's a good thing it's in 3D, but no, it's not. But,
more eye candy for the little 12-year-old boys that will go see it.
Because they can get in.
It's probably rated R.
It is very rated R. Yeah. But with all that said, Spring Breakers comes out March 22nd. So, you know, be there or be square, right? That's what they say.
That's what the kids say.
They say that.
When was the last time?
They say that when they're making fun of old people.
All right, so let's move on. Let's go to our main film review for Warm Bodies.
Yay!
What am I doing with my life? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I wish I could introduce myself, but I don't remember my name. I think it started with an R. That's all I have left. It's kind of a bummer. I shouldn't be so hard on myself. I mean, we're all dead. This is my best friend. We even have almost conversations sometimes. They call these guys bonies. They'll eat anything with a heartbeat. I mean, I will too, but at least I'm conflicted about it. Nice watch.
So that should have been some of the trailer for Warm Bodies. This is the new paranormal romantic comedy, because we need more of those, really. But
we need a good one. We haven't had a good one yet.
Exactly.
Regardless, yeah, anyway. Well,
now we have.
Yeah, so. This movie is about R. He is a zombie in a zombie-infested world. He lives in an airport. He walks around. He has thoughts inside of his head. He just wants to find meaning in his undead life. He meets a girl named Julie. He falls in love with Julie at first sight, it would seem. After eating her boyfriend's brains, he falls even more in love with her. He saves her from other zombies, and they start to kind of locks her away to keep her safe from the other zombies, and the two of them form some kind of a relationship, it would seem. And from there, the zombies, well, Zar kind of gets a little less zombie-like, and that kind of starts infecting the other zombies, and lots of romantic zombie hijinks ensue from that point. So, with all that said, Brenna, what did you think, in some brief thoughts, of Warm Bodies?
First off, I was really nervous going into it, because I thought it was going to be Twilight, but with zombies. Because, you know, you have this traditional monster, zombies here, vampires in Twilight, falling in love with a human. So I'm like, this is probably going to be really bad. And I walked away going, oh, well, I liked that. Because unlike Twilight, it's not a horribly unhealthy, flawed relationship. And he's not a jerk. He actually seems to care about her. And she doesn't love him because he abuses her, like in Twilight. And on top of that, there's also some Romeo and Juliet stuff going on here. But again, unlike that, it's not a horribly flawed relationship, because Romeo and Juliet is so unhealthy. God, I hate that play. 13-year-olds killing themselves over each other is not... No, not okay. Anyway,
that was a third episode. During that time was like 26, so they're already middle-aged.
It's true. This is true. But still, they didn't even make it to any farther. Anyway, I actually was really impressed with it. I thought I was going to hate it. Particularly on top of that, I hate Twilight, but I'm also a huge zombie fan. So I'm thinking, you know, the love and all this stuff, that doesn't work. That's not zombies. I'll never forgive it. But they set it up in their own world so well that they had their own rules and they followed them to a T. So I could forgive them for straying from the usual zombie path. And everything else is so good that I was able to just completely get over all of my elitist zombie fan hangups and enjoy this movie. Although, what's your face? Teresa Palmer. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Looks exactly like Kristen Stewart. Like, could be her sister.
Just blonde.
Yeah, I heard people going, is that Kristen? Really? She's doing another one of these movies? Because I saw the trailer, I thought it was. And I was like, no, that's... But that, thankfully, her look-alikeness and the fact that it's a traditional monster in love with a human is where the similarities to Twilight end, because it's a good movie.
Cool. Abe, thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was actually a pretty good movie too, and it's very harmless. It doesn't really, you know, there's not a whole lot of like gore. There's not a whole lot of like love. It's kind of just like in the middle. And there's a lot of comedy actually. So the beginning where they're setting everything up, I do agree with Brenna about the entire world building and world setting with like the rules of these types of zombies versus the bonies, and how they're different. But yeah, for the most part, it's nothing that is going to be like, overly love filled. There are moments that are kind of weird, I guess, but at the same time, I think that the direction of it, was well done. It's based off of a book. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that they had some stuff to work with there. I don't know if people who read the book hated the movie, but I certainly enjoyed where they took this movie in terms of, you know what, there's like some elements of this person becoming more human, and let's explore that, explore like the emotions that he goes through while giving it some humor and giving it some, are they adolescents? They're probably not adolescents. They're like 20s, right?
I'd assume so.
Yeah. But he has that face where he can look anywhere between like 20s or like young teens.
Exactly what the friend said.
That's what I was quoting, yes.
Yeah.
How old are you? Because you could be 20-something, but you could also be a teenager. You know, you have one of those faces.
Oh my god.
And I can't even smell. You don't smell rotten. He doesn't smell rotten.
But yeah, on the overall, it's a fun movie. I think that, you know, it's probably one of those date movies type films.
It's actually probably the only good date movie out right now for Valentine's Day.
Besides Bulleted to the Head, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I totally forgot about that, yeah.
Or you could do what I want to do and just go to the Die Hard Marathon.
There you go.
That's pretty Valentine's Day.
It is. It does open on Valentine's Day.
It's a good day. I like this movie quite a bit too. I enjoyed myself, and for similar reasons as to Brenna, because I am also a big zombie fan. I mean, we've done a zombie episode on this show.
We did.
But I am very, you know, kind of quick to judge other zombie movies when they kind of stray from the standard template, you know, mainly the Romero type zombies. But this movie, the best thing I can say about it is that it did a good job of making me accept the fact that, yeah, the zombies think and they, you know, talk in things in this movie, and that's something that you certainly don't see zombies doing all the time. And but I was able to go with it because I do think I agree the world building's pretty cool in this movie. I enjoyed how it was set up, and I enjoyed the comedy the most in this movie. The romance, I would say, is probably the weakest element, just because it's there, and I guess you can, if you buy into it, good on you. But it's not.
He's pretty and she's pretty. That's enough.
That's pretty. Yeah, that's kind of that's the extent of it at that point. But no, I really like Nicholas Holt in this movie as R. I really like the narration he's doing and kind of his zombie attitude, which is, I guess, a lot to say because he is, you know, playing a hipster in this movie, and I can take or leave that.
He's a
hipster zombie, but I was able to go with it because I liked him, and I liked him and Rob Corddry, who's really funny in this movie as well. Like, there's a lot of things that make this movie just work for me overall, even though some things kind of go underdeveloped, like the Bonies, for example, or John Malkovich, this movie could easily use more of, especially his intensity. It's like having Nick Cage not having him go into Rage Cage mode, but you have John Malkovich, and he's just kind of like, hey, I'm here.
I was okay with the level of Malkovich.
I could have used Malkovich. In the sequel, Malkovich's Rise, I'll
he just takes over, like, the entire state.
Exactly.
I think the dead are coming back to life.
That does sound crazy.
They're changing, Dad. They're I don't know, they're somehow curing themselves.
No, you know what is happening, Julie? What's happening is every day there are more of them and less of us. They are not curing themselves. We're their food source. They are not becoming vegan.
I did have one sort of overarching complaint about it, which was, is this apocalypse happening at a local level? Is it global?
Right.
Because if so, cleaning out your city doesn't mean anything, because the ones in the city 20 miles away can just walk up.
I thought about that too.
Why are you blowing up your wall? You haven't converted those guys yet.
The movie's certainly kind of small scale in terms of telling its story.
So. They should have been on an island or something.
Yeah. But then that'd be awkward. That's a huge island, yeah. To your point about the whole entire, the part about eating brains, I actually really like that, primarily because I like the flashback sequences that they do. They're staged very well, as well as the lighting. And then Rob Corddry, again, I think I brought this up when we were talking about the trailers, he's actually being not Rob Corddry, where he's being loud and rambunctious. There are some moments where he's actually has some really funny lines.
Yeah.
He's got some of the funniest lines in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he's actually that good at his being a zombie.
Uh-huh.
But I forgive it because Nicholas Holt, right?
Yeah.
Because Nicholas Holt is so good at being a zombie and having dialogue, and Rob Corddry kind of feels like, it's okay, I forgive you for not sounding as zombie-ish as he is because you say the funniest things in the whole movie.
Yeah.
But even Abe, you're awesome, bro
moment.
Bitches, man. But... Abe, you're mentioning like Rob, like the flashback stuff, and there's like Rob Corddry does some good, like he has like a very funny scene where you see some of his past life, and you're like, okay, I can roll with this.
It's kind of affecting.
But even a friend of the show, Dave Franco, he's up there.
Friend of the show, Dave. Oh, great.
Friend of the show, Dave Franco.
Yes,
he made it. He made it to the list.
All right. Cool.
Friend of the show, Dave Franco. You think you're like kind of like, oh, I guess I'm not gonna get to learn much about him. But then you kind of you go into his backstory and you kind of feel for Dave Franco, given like what you see, how you see his character evolve based on what's happening what happened in the zombie world. And I liked how it handled that mixed with the idea of you eat brains and you get their memories. Like that's a neat concept that I haven't seen before.
I think that implies that Perry is dead, because I can't imagine him eating his brains with him being alive. So yeah.
I saw Hannibal, Ray Liotta's here.
Same thing. But I also felt the same way. I was like, oh, well, why would you use him? Why would you have him in this role if he's just going to die?
Yeah.
And then I realized that, oh, no, we're not done with him. We're going to see so much more of him.
I totally thought that, too. I was like, why is he promoting the show or the movie when he's got, like, he's off
five
in like,
first,
yeah, the 5 minutes. It's like, oh, that's well done. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Well played, sir.
Yes. What did you guys think of the use of the music, I guess the soundtrack, to tune what R is also trying to convey? And as well as just, I guess, old school, like, rock and roll.
It's certainly not subtle in some of the song choices, but even that, like, there's one scene in particular where they kind of play a song that you think's going to be like, oh, this is really cheesy, and then they like, call it out. They call it out, and it's like, okay, that's actually, that made me laugh quite a bit, because they kind of stopped it in its tracks. It's like, yeah, we get that it's ridiculous to use.
But, you know what? I think that a lot of people in the theater where we saw it didn't recognize the song until they started singing.
Okay.
Kind of depressing. But they didn't get the joke, so we're sitting over here cackling, and everybody else is, like, quiet. And I'm like, oh, do you not? Oh, I guess, oh.
But
well, you don't know what song we're talking about either.
But overall, I mean, I did like the soundtrack choices. I mean, I think, because, was this from director Jonathan Levine? He has a good handle on choosing soundtracks in his movies, like 50-50 and The Whackness. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it through the soundtrack. I'm surprised that this movie doesn't have its own soundtrack on, like, Out. It seems like
I wanted to buy it.
Yeah, I kind of like there's like a I could even put it in the show notes. There's like someone put up an article that has the list of all the songs used in case you wanted to create your own soundtrack. But the movie didn't have its own soundtrack release, which is surprising.
They didn't get the rights for selling it independently.
I guess, but it's like this is from Summit. They did Twilight movies. I feel like they have the cash to put this together.
It's all spent on making the Twilight TV series, so they can't spend.
Did you have thoughts on the soundtrack?
I enjoyed it quite a bit, and it kind of reminded me of, Drive's not the same kind of movie, but sometimes when they played music in Drive, it kind of conveyed some of the emotions of Ryan Gosling, primarily because he doesn't say anything at all in the movie, except, I'm going to kick your teeth in. It's kind of like I like when they do.
It's weird how he says nothing at all in the movie until that one point, and he says, I'm going to kick your
teeth in. Yeah, and then you're like, I remember this woman was sitting in front of me. This is for Drive. She was sitting in front of me, and she's like, oh, damn. I was like, yeah, that's creepy. But, yeah, I certainly enjoyed the soundtrack in this movie. I always like when things play well, direction and, choreography of the scene and also music. So, you know, we've talked about what's-his-face. What's her face and what's-his-face a lot.
Romeo and Juliet.
No, I was thinking more of... the guy who did Hannah.
Oh, Joe Wright.
Yeah, Joe Wright. Yeah, so, you know, I certainly enjoy aspects when things go well together.
Yeah. In terms of the direction of this movie from Jonathan Levine, I mean, we talked about the world building. I think he does a good job. I mean, for a movie like this that's obviously not, like, high budget, you can tell, especially when you watch something like The Bonies. I think it's a good-looking movie, and I think he does bring kind of a style to it that fits for the most part. Like, hey, you mentioned, like, the flashbacks and kind of the look of those.
Yep.
And then even just kind of like, here's this world, and here's this giant wall, and there's zombies here, and some of the zombies look fairly good, and the bonies look decent-ish. Like, I think it does a good job making the best of what it has for the most part. I enjoyed it. And like the sets, like the airport set, like you can tell there's only like three places they got to film this movie, but I think it does a good job of like putting that all together.
They're pretty awesome places though.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense, having, like, an airport as, like, your main setting, because, like, yeah, there would be zombies just kind of roaming around, not doing anything all day.
Because people were trying to leave.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point about the whole entire world building, yeah, I think that it's to his compliment, Jonathan Levine's compliment, that he doesn't actually show you, like, too much. He kind of just shows you this is where they live, this is kind of, like, the outer wall and stuff like that. So they don't really focus on it, so they don't have to, like, show you these great detailed, you know, giant walls that they've built over years, or like a massive airport that has tons of like refuse and dead bodies. So it's just like, oh yeah, you know what? Here's three airplanes. Here's one terminal. Here's one street of a suburb house. And I think they only show like the wall twice or three times in the movie. And that's all that you really need to go on, because the characters kind of take up the rest of the space, which is admirable, because, you know, the film is not that long. It probably doesn't have a huge budget, and it does what it needs to do.
I've said this before, and I will say it again, that...
I love being a turtle? Is that...
Yes. I think probably one of my favorite parts of this movie is just how perfectly spot on the tone is. Because it takes things that you wouldn't expect to be sweet or romantic and makes them sweet and romantic. Like, eating brains is sweet because he's trying to learn more about the pretty girl. Or you know, he smears blood and guts on her face. But it's sweet because he's trying to protect her.
Exactly.
Stay safe. Yeah.
And so, I mean, being able to make those kind of things sweet and romantic in a movie during the apocalypse where people are getting eaten is very skillful. I give props. Yeah,
to that point as well. I mean, they're able to make you have these types of visceral reactions. I mean, there's a point where he's eating brains and then he just spits it out because bad trip, man. But no, I mean, that was kind of one of those situations where it's like, oh man, you kind of feel sorry for this guy. And there's a very, very valid reason why. Cause he all of a sudden feels remorse. Mm-hmm. And also the dream sequence was really cool because it's almost like Freddy Krueger where they start talking to you. Yeah. But it's well done because it brings up questions. Then that kind of brings me into another point of this movie has some things to say. Some deeper things to say if you want to think about it on that level, contextually, just with the whole entire notion of, are we already zombies right now? Because there's like the whole entire scene where it's like, I miss what would be happening right now. They kind of just profile everybody on their smartphone and games, and it's interesting. So yeah, if you want to take it another step up, it's just, there's some nice things that they're saying about how you should enjoy life.
Yeah, like, so, like most good zombie movies, there's a layer of social commentary in there, and it's not necessarily the most subtle or the most, most importantly, thing handled as opposed to something like the Romero movies, where they make it a very interesting way to watch those movies when you think about, like, Dawn of the Dead and consumerism, but, like, it does have that aspect in there, yeah, like you're saying, and I agree, it fits for a movie like this that has so much going on, that sets up a lot, which is kind of my main problem with the movies, that it just kind of, it sets up a lot of things. It can only accomplish so much, but it's most successful as a comedy for me. But yeah. I think, it does have that kind of, like, remember we're all good, and, like, yeah, everyone's just looking at their smartphones while walking to the airport.
Remember when we were abstract zombies instead of actual zombies?
Yeah. And, you know, the whole entire notion of the way that he describes the bonies, too, it's like, oh, they've just given up. And so, I don't know. You know, you could read more into that however you'd like. But yeah, I found the movie to be fun overall. So,
any last thoughts before we do a rating?
It's cute. See it on a date.
Sakyat.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
All right, so then we'll give it a rating then. Each week on Out Now, Aaron and Abe, we try to rate movies based on when you should go and see them, and we have a scale that goes from IMAX to theater to dollar theater, Netflix, HBO, TV, or just kind of forget about it. On that scale, Brenna, where would you put Warm Bodies?
I don't think it comes out on IMAX.
It's kind of, no, it's more of a when you it's a rating. It's like a
IMAX would be like, oh, you know, you got to go see it right now, pay any price.
Oh, I would say theaters.
Yeah.
See it theaters on Valentine's Day.
There you go. Abe.
Yeah, I'd say a dollar theater. It's not really certainly that's like something that you need to rush out and see, but it is something that you should see in the theaters.
Yeah, I give it a theater too. I enjoy it. I thought it was fun. Good.
If you're single, you'll hate it.
Yes.
Particularly
I would agree with that.
Valentine's Day and all that.
Because you're gonna be like, damn it, why can't I be like this
find
person?
Love with zombies?
Drafted by happy couples.
Why won't anyone rub their blood on me?
Yeah, and mewing and sighing girls.
Why can't I run like Nicholas Holt? I liked his zombie run, by the way.
It was awesome.
Like his tetanus shoulders.
Yeah.
Lock G on the shoulders.
All right. So that's our ratings for Warm Body. Let's get a little movie callback going.
Callback.
This is where we discuss a couple films that kind of relate in some way to the main feature that we've just discussed. So, Brenna, any movies that you thought of during or after you saw Warm Bodies? Similar in some way, perhaps?
I thought it had because as I was sitting there, I was trying to think of other comedies that involved zombies. So really, I thought of Shaun of the Dead, and I also thought of Zombieland. Mm-hmm. But those are still different because Shaun of the Dead is I guess you could say it's a rom-com.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it doesn't involve zombies really as main characters.
For sure.
So I think that this one's pretty unique in those regards. The monster falling in love with a human bit reminded me of Twilight, but it was done well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Abe?
You know, one thing before we move on to this section, Aaron, you had texted me to ask me to keep out for the word zombies.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is like one of those zombie movies where they actually say the word zombie. I think they said about 5 times. How many
did
you?
They did. Okay, because I could not remember if they actually said the word zombie. Yeah. So,
like, she says it first when she gets kidnapped, and they get that can of fruit cocktail, and she calls him a zombie. And then he calls himself a zombie when she leaves after they're in the suburbs, and they're walking in different directions. And then her friend says it twice when they're putting on, like, the makeup and stuff.
Okay.
And some guy says it last time in, like, the third act.
I'm glad you took diligent notes on when they said zombie. But...
Yeah, because I was like, wait, did they not say it? Because then that would have made me pay attention even harder. But they did say it.
No, I couldn't remember, because in especially Romero zombie movies, but, like, in a lot of zombie movies, they don't say the word zombie.
Yeah, they always call them, like, the undead or,
they
like...
say anything else
but
zombie.
The idea of zombie doesn't exist in this world.
Exactly. This one, clearly, I guess they do. I mean, especially because, like, she holds, like, up the Blu-ray of zombie next to his face at one point.
Right, yes.
But I was just curious. I couldn't remember if they actually used the word or not, so...
Yeah, I also forgot to say, it reminded me a bit of Fido. I don't know if you've...
I've seen Fido. Fido is a fun movie.
I love that movie. I also got a little bit of Fido-ness in there, even though he was less of a pet and more of a companion.
I'll put that in the show notes. Fido stars Billy Connolly as a zombie. It's a really funny... It's a Canadian movie, I believe, actually.
Carrie-Anne Moss.
Billy Connolly?
Yeah, Billy Connolly's the lead zombie.
Is he playing
Fido.
A Canadian zombie, or is he playing, like, a Scottish zombie?
Well, he's very polite,
But like I'll put it in the show notes for sure. But
I'm sorry for eating your brain.
It's like a boy that finds it's like Frankenweenie but with zombies.
Oh.
But no, it's an interesting kind of is it set in the '50s too? Isn't it? I think like
yeah, it's like in the '50s. It's like at the end of Shaun of the Dead when all the zombies are domesticated. It's kind of like if it took place after that.
Yeah, that's it's like that mixed with like, okay. Mixed with Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Who's the dad? Dylan Baker is the dad in that one too. Mm-hmm. He's a fun character actor.
But in terms of movie callbacks, I thought of like some strange ones. WALL-E.
I turned to the other Aaron I was watching it with, the moment he walked into his airplane and said WALL-E.
Yeah.
All that reminded me very much of WALL-E. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Also, District 9 for some reason, probably because they're closed off and they don't want to deal with the zombie dudes. Shaun of the Dead, obviously, primarily because, yeah, their comedy is about zombies, but there's also the affecting moments, like, when Bill Nighy gets bitten and then also when his mother gets bitten.
There's a lot of affecting moments mm-hmm. in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. And, Children of Men, probably because the world is, like, really crappy and I like the way that they kind of just showed the crappiness of the world.
Briefly, they didn't really draw much attention to it.
Yeah, and also an episode of Scrubs, because the narration in it was just like Zach Braff doing his Dr.
Acula?
Dr. Blackula. Black Acula, yeah.
You guys mentioned basically all the movies that I thought of already for it, so, yeah. Stole my thunder. So that nothing really to add on that. But yeah, Shaun of the Dead comes out just because that's one of my favorite movies in general.
Let's call me Percy Jackson.
Wow.
Lightning thief.
Yeah, I gotcha. Let's. God.
Sorry.
You threw me off. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's go over box office. Each week, we try to go over the box office totals and find out if our previous week's predictions were anywhere near the correct ones. And so there were five of us on last week, so we all had some predictions. Abe, do you remember what you thought of?
I think it was like first 16.
You say yeah. You said first place 16 million. Adam Gentry said first place 15 million. Mark Johnson said 18.7. Bold guess. Jose said 19. I said 21.2. Just a one-up mark. The actual total, $19.5 million for Born Bodies this week. It was very close. I was very curious because it made like $8 million on Friday, but it's Super Bowl Sunday weekend, so I'm like, I don't know how this is going to translate. But because it's Super Bowl Sunday, because today's Super Bowl, it's not going to make nearly enough money to be like up in 20 million area. So like I lost. So Jose took it. Yeah.
Jose, congratulations.
It's a close one though. I was very curious as to how much money this was going to make.
18.7, almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mark Johnson failed because he went for that one. Let's see. Bullet to the Head did terrible. 4.5 million, which is lower than...
What place did it come in?
What?
What place did that come in?
Sixth place. That's a lower opening. Well, that's a lower opening than Parker from last week, and lower than The Last Stand from 2 weeks before that.
Wait, it was lower than The Last Stand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought The Last Stand came in at like 10th place when it premiered.
No. No, it didn't. It came in with very little money, but not as low as Bullet to the Head.
I thought it came in with 3 million something.
It was, where is it?
Or was it 6 million something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was like 6 million something, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you got Schwarzenegger and Stallone in these action movies, and people didn't go see them. I wonder if that's an indication of something. Although the movies, that said, the movies didn't look terrible to begin with, so it's not really surprising.
Take the hint, guys.
Although The Last Stand was very fun.
We agree that we like The Last Stand. Last Stand was good. But you watch the trailers, you're like, this doesn't look good.
That's very true.
The marketing wasn't very good, and it was a January movie. I mean, if it was a bigger movie, I'd imagine there'd be more to go with it. Like if it was Terminator 5, that'd make more than 6 million in a weekend. But Bullet to the Head did not do good. Stand Up Guys, which I think is terrible, debuted in like 17th place, but that wasn't going to make money. It's only like 600 theaters.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's box office. Let's move on. What do we got? Actually, what time?
I think that there's some time for, now that Dave Franco is running the show, I think that he's interested in some games.
He's a little low. Hold on. There we go. There we go. I got it.
Well. Dave Franco is proud, and he's going to tell his brother to help us be a friend of the show as well.
I mean, we got one Franco. Do we need two? Okay, so I got... I made a new game. Here we go. This one, there's a... The title might work better with a visual component, but I'm just going to try and say it anyway and hope you get what I'm going for. They Look So Good Together?
Okay.
The game is about unlikely romances in films.
Oh, okay, all right. I was like, real life? That's kind of rude.
They look so good together. Okay, so I've listed a number of descriptions of odd romantic couples in movies, and you have to guess what movie I'm referring to.
Okay.
Okay, so I got a bunch of these. So we'll just, you know, and whoever wins obviously gets to meet Dave Franco, because I've set that up.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it's a big stakes on this game. Mm-hmm. Here's the first one. One is a fast-talking irritation, the other is a lonely, fiery reptile. Unlikely romances.
What was the description of the first person?
A fast-talking irritation.
I want to say Rango?
Who did Rango fall in love with?
The girl.
I guess.
Girl.
Okay, but that's not the right answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
The reptile is like Ninja Turtles.
The answer. Okay, I'll go here. The answer is Donkey and Dragon from Shrek.
Ah, okay. Good call there.
Okay.
That is an awkward pairing.
Okay.
They had the cutest babies.
So, yeah, they did.
How did that even mix?
I gotta get a job. okay. Some of these are easier than others. Here we go. This is the next one. One is obsessed with death. The other is just about there.
That's difficult.
Not if you know the movie.
I want to say the one movie with Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt.
Meet Joe Black? It's Harold and Maude from Harold and Maude.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Gosh darn it.
Here we go. Next one. One is a curious janitor. The other is equipped with a death ray.
Curious Janitor and Death Ray. It sounds very familiar.
It should sound very familiar. What?
Is it Futurama?
No, it's not Futurama.
I don't know. Brain skipping.
You mentioned this movie.
Oh, that makes it worse.
Abe mentioned this movie.
Wall-E?
It is Wall-E.
Okay.
Hey!
What's the description?
A curious janitor and one has a death ray.
Okay, yeah, good call. All right.
I'm not making these easy.
Yeah, they're very difficult,
okay,
I would say.
Here we go.
Mark Johnson would not win.
Mark Johnson would kill these. He'd destroy.
Would he?
Yeah, he would. He'd dominate this.
Ramp and tag him.
Okay, here we go. One is handsome enough to probably do better. The other is literally an inanimate object.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Lars and the Real
Girl. Ah, damn it. I was like, yeah.
Okay. One is an actress. The other is a bit on the hairy side.
Erin Henderson's.
Who is an actress in that movie?
I'm just naming whatever comes to my head first.
Really, not that's not how you play Jeopardy.
Beauty and the Beast.
Nope.
Don't know.
Belle's not an actress.
She could be.
She could be.
The answer is Anne and Kong from King Kong.
Oh.
Okay.
Boo hiss.
I mean, I'm correct. I don't know what the...
Well, you're correct in your own standard, because you made the game.
I mean, one is an actress, and the other is a bit on the hairy side.
Yes, but not a couple.
Well, Belle was the best-looking in the town.
She's not an actress, Abe! She's a reader!
When you read books, what? You become other people!
Here we go. One...
How can you read this? There's no pictures.
Here's the next one. It's a tied game, by the way, so, you know.
1-1?
Yeah.
Woo.
One is a wonderful green host, the other is incredibly self-obsessed.
Green host.
I really thought that would give it away easily. Abe's gonna feel bad when he gets the answer for this one.
I think we both will.
One is a wonderful green host, the other is incredibly self-obsessed.
Oh, Kermit and Miss Piggy!
Kermit and Miss Piggy is correct. Of course, Abe drops out of the call right when that happens. Abe?
Yep, the obligatory drop.
Did you hear the answer?
No.
Say it again, Brenna.
Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Oh. Well done.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's the next one. This one might be tough. One is a regular high school girl. The other is not finished yet.
What?
He's not finished.
Twilight?
He's not finished.
He's not finished? Something about a robot? I don't know.
That's pretty close. 90s.
May!
90s.
Well, she wasn't in high school.
90s.
Nice May call, though. That's a good movie.
Thank you. That was close.
90s movie? 90s robot? Early Daryl? Yeah, that was like in the 80s.
I believe it's pronounced Daryl.
I forgot all the periods, yes. I don't know.
90s movie. Early 90s.
Oh, Edward Scissorhands?
It's Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Oh. I love that movie.
Yeah, now I'm all sad.
Yeah.
Okay. One is a real nice guy. The other is from under the sea.
Little Mermaid?
Well, they're very close.
Oh, no, that's backwards.
It's not really backwards. He's a real
Aquaman? Man.
That's, come on.
You should give it to me for Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I think
give
you should.
Give it to me if you got the next possible answer that's very close to Little Mermaid.
Splash.
It is Splash.
I'm going to give that to Brianna.
To Brenna.
Brenna.
Thank you, Abe.
Here we go. Just three more.
Okay.
One is a former tennis player. The other is his sister.
The Road Thunderbombs.
Who said it first?
I don't know.
Did you even say it?
No, I said Game of Thrones.
Okay, no, yeah, Abe got it. Abe's taking a run away here. He's
woo! 3-2.
All I heard was incest.
Incest.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Well, they're adopted, so.
That's true, well. Yeah.
One has a large amount of real estate, the other misses her father.
Huge trucks of land.
Huge amount of real estate, misses her.
You really gotta kind of stretch to think of this one. Although it is a movie that you mentioned already.
Killer Joe?
Large amount of real estate.
Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast is the correct answer.
Whoa, close game.
Crushed,
3-3.
Crushed it there. I thought that was
coming up.
Here's the last one.
Rain Man.
He's an immigrant with big goals and balls. She is like a tiger.
Wait, like a tiger. Is that Sacha Baron Cohen movie?
No.
The Terminal?
Oh, Tom Hanks. The movie, oh my god.
What was the description of the female?
She's like a tiger. '80s movie.
'80s movie.
Immigrant, big goals, and balls.
Oh, is this Coming to America?
No.
No.
Aw, my mom's in that movie.
She is? She?
Yeah.
Huh?
She's one of the dancers when they introduce the bride in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, neat. Oh.
Cool.
Try to find that clip for the show notes.
Did you get free samples of Soul Glow as a child then? It's like, just take it. We don't want it. Just staining just, everything in the house.
Eric was all handing you things. He still does it. Immigrant. Big goals. And balls.
Immigrant with big goals and balls. Five
are they balls? Literal balls?
No, they're
not,
literal balls.
Not testicles, but like actual balls?
No, they are not literal balls in any manner. They are more of...
figurative balls?
Figurative balls.
Hmm. Figurative balls. Big balls. One is a tiger?
It's not a tiger. She's like a tiger.
She's like a tiger.
That's how he described it.
Wait, like a tiger.
Crocodile Dundee.
I gotta think of another one now because you're not gonna get this one. We need a tiebreaker.
I don't know.
The answer is Tony Montana and Elvira from Scarface.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Abe hates Scarface.
No, I've actually never seen it except for on TV.
Oh my god.
Maybe you haven't seen it.
I just got sad. Okay, now I got.
Because I'm just like, oh, The Godfather is way better, but different premise.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, now I got to think of another one. Give me a second.
Rain Man. I'm just thinking of what you might say.
Rain Man.
Yes, man.
They are odd together. One knows how to count how many toothpicks fell on the floor. The other is a pool shark. Well, I guess he's not a pool shark in the movie.
Give me a second.
All right, we're waiting. Anxiously, I might add.
Don't I win no matter what, though?
What? We need a tiebreaker. It's tough.
We're not tied.
Are you tied? You are tied.
I don't know. I can't remember. I thought
we tied. Yeah.
Well, now I'm doing one anyway. So there. Okay. Okay, you got one. Got to think of the phrasing. Okay. He is an artist. And she doesn't want to be with Billy Zane.
Titanic.
It's Titanic. You nailed it. Crushed it.
Thanks for giving it away, man.
Hey, did you get the right answer? Don't think so. There you
go. I was going to say the little...
You're going to say the wrong answer.
Zoolander.
I was going to say the... What's the one where he's like the beast guy?
Ian the Beast? I don't know. Anyway, that's how you play. They look good together.
Good. Question mark?
Question mark? All right, so now, let's see what we got. Out Now presents what's out now. A few movies come out every week. We're going to make mention of what's coming out on DVD, Blu-ray. Abe, you saw Celeste and Jesse Forever.
Yes, it was okay.
Okay.
Probably because I had seen Your Sister's Sister the same year, and they kind of deal with the relationships, and one handles it a lot better.
I hate when you see similar movies in the same year. It seems like
I know. It's like when you do that. Capote and the other one. It's like
Infamous. That's the one you reached for. Okay, that's good. Flight comes out this week. I don't like Flight.
Oscar nominated Flight.
Oscar nominated for best screenplay because that's silly.
And best actor, right?
Yeah, best actor. I'll give it that. But oh my god, screenplay killed. I'm gonna mention it every time it comes out. Flight. How silly it is. Also, Here Comes the Boom comes out with Kevin.
Yeah.
No one wanted to see this movie with me, but now I
get, I would have seen it with you.
Now I get to review the Blu-ray, so I'll finally get to see Here Comes the Boom.
Oh, man, it's actually not horrible.
Okay, good.
Uh-oh.
It's good, because I want to see it. No one wanted to
see it. And he totally kicks butt. It's actually a lot of fun.
I hope so. I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie that no one wants.
Completely.
I just want to see Aaron's, like, defeating, like, deflated...
Me telling him that it's good, now he's gonna go home and cry.
Yeah, he's like, God, I should have never done that.
I mean,
it's extremely formulaic, but it's just fun to watch Kevin James.
That's what it looked like, and I like, yep. And I miss seeing fun Kevin James, because all I just see is, hey, Kevin James is fat jokes, and that's terrible, but this movie looks like it's not doing that, so there you
go. He got
There are fat jokes in it.
You didn't see it, Abe.
I saw like 10 minutes.
That, you didn't see it.
There are fat jokes in it, but he's... But he gets pretty built.
You look cut.
Yeah, he's pretty. It's ridiculous. It's like you think he's like the really buff guy who looks fat with a shirt on.
There you go.
And then he takes his shirt off, and you're Kingpin? Like, I'm sorry.
Kingpin.
Yes.
All right, Kingpin. Okay, last thing, important. This one comes out this week, Abe. What was my motto for 2012?
Still boating? I don't know.
What? Come on, Abe. What do you never do?
Black don't crack?
What do you never do?
Swim in the sea?
There's one thing you don't do.
Oh, cross Alex Cross.
Exactly! You never cross Alex Cross! And so now, on Blu-ray DVD this week, Alex Cross comes out. And whether or not I'm going to cross Alex Cross is yet to be determined. But if I do cross Alex Cross, I'm going to probably have to make Abe cross Alex Cross, because then we're going to have to cross Alex Cross while doing a commentary.
This is awkward.
I'll see it again, cross Alex Cross. Alex.
Nope.
It might happen, Abe.
Tic-tac-toe.
Abe, it could be pretty amazing in terms of, like, we need to watch this movie, so we'll see.
Let me know.
I'll let you know. I don't even know when I'd get that movie to, like, watch it.
I'm surprised that it came out so late on Blu-ray DVD.
That late.
I was thinking that it was going to, like, bomb and you're just going to, like, immediately release it.
It came out in November. Now it's on Blu-ray already. It's pretty quick.
Oh, is it November? Okay, all right.
Like, Seven Psychopaths came out in, what, October? And
well, that was a good movie, though.
I know, but, I mean, it's...
I know. It just didn't play in theaters well.
Okay, so let's get to next week. Next, we're going to talk about Side Effects.
Uh-oh.
A new film from Steven Soderbergh. And it's a movie I really can't... I've seen it already, but I really can't explain it because everything's a spoiler when trying to describe that movie. But suffice it to say, it stars Jude Law, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Rooney Mara, and Chan Tate. So completing the Soderbergh-Channing Tatum trilogy. So with all that said, we can try to predict the box office and Side Effects, although I don't think it's going to make so much.
I'm going to say 9 million.
9 million? In what place would that be?
That's tough, because it's coming out with like a comedy what's that one movie? Identity Thief.
I would doubt it makes number one.
I would doubt it makes number one, too. I'm going to say like fourth place.
Fourth. That's probably a good guess. Brenna, you want to lay down a prediction for Side Effects?
Yeah, I think that everything is going to lose to Warm Bodies once we get to Valentine's Day.
That's going to build momentum?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to say probably... 8 million?
There you go. Fair enough.
I guess that'd be third place, I suppose.
Sounds good. And I will... Jeez, I have no idea either. I'm good. You took the best numbers. So. I'll just...
You can go like...
You can be an optimist or a pessimist.
Five.
It's got Catherine Zeta-Jones in it, so I'm gonna... That's how Connery says it, right?
Catherine
Zeta-Jones.
How would Bane say it?
Catherine Zeta-Jones is never going to I really enjoyed her in Chicago. Remember when she sang that song in Chicago and it made you think, take back your dances, take back your Zellweger. Alright, that's enough.
She was pregnant when she filmed Chicago, wasn't she?
She was pregnant when she got her Oscar, I know that.
I think she was pregnant during the filming of Chicago.
She was pregnant in traffic, I know that.
Well, that baby's always shake, rattle, and rolling.
Uh-huh.
Shake, rattle, and roll.
That's what I was saying. Right. I was hoping that. So now with all that stalling I did, I'm gonna say 12 million, and I'll say that's good enough for third, second place.
Ooh,
such an optimist.
What's in first then?
Optimistic. You know what? I'm gonna raise the 13th place.
Whoa,
13 million.
Sarcastic. Whoa, no.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
That's our prediction, so we'll see how that goes. And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's podcast episode. You can find... Yeah. You can find more... I was like, what do I say?
Okay.
What have I said every other 90 episodes that we've done this on? You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for Blu-ray reviews, and Twitter at twitter.com/AaronsPS3. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
And Miss Brenna?
What's just seen its URL? I feel very unprofessional. Y'all were all...
Justseenit.com.
Is it justseenit.com?
Yeah.
I thought we sent people to the PBS website.
Yeah, PBS SoCal, or what is it? PBS SoCal justcena.org.
Justcena.com.
Yeah, justcena.com.
Yeah.
You can find...
And you can find us on YouTube by searching Just Seen It.
Yep. Brenna's a main reviewer on that show. You can find her all over the place. I think we were both on TV yesterday talking about stuff.
What? We were on national television, prime time.
Public.
It was on PBS, so probably nobody saw it.
Yeah.
What were you guys guessing?
Something. Television.
Hidden Gems. It was the Hidden Gems episode.
Was I on the Hidden Gems? I was on I was on the television.
You were on two. You were on Hidden Gems. You talked about seeking a friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I sat there. I was looking at you the whole time.
Sparkly I have very eyes. Bad Love. Memories.
But yeah. Yeah, there's that. you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes, of course. Also at hhwlod.com, you can find our show, all the episodes of our show, as well as the other shows on the network, including the Walking Dead TV podcast and Legion of Dudes and other fun shows about comics and games and cool stuff like that. Outnow.podomatic.com, you can find most of the newest episodes and some exclusives there. Abe, the YouTube page?
YouTube.com/outnowpodcast, where you can find the main reviews. We're still working on refreshing everything, but just check it out, 20, 30 minutes each.
And outnowpodcast@gmail.com, feel free to email us in. What did you think of Warm Bodies? Do you like zombie romance movies or movies that are like that? All those zombie romance movies out there? All both of them. other questions, perhaps Oscar predictions. We'll be happy to get those and kind of read them along with our Oscar prediction show that we're eventually going to do. And any other thoughts, helpful. You know, we like getting emails. We like reading them. And lastly, facebook.com/outnowpodcast and twitter.com/outnow_podcast. You can follow and like those pages, get all the updates and what have you there. That's going to wrap it up. Brenna, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Brenna.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
For sure. And that's going to do it this week. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
No saving anything. Now we're swallowing the shine of the sun. There's no saving anything. How we swallow the sun. But I won't be no runaway, 'cause I another thing coming undone, and it's taking us over. We don't bleed and we don't fight. Go ahead, go ahead, throw your arms in the air tonight. We don't bleed and we don't fight. Go ahead, go ahead, lose our shirts in the fire tonight. What makes you think I'm enjoying being led to the flood?
All right, so we're back. And joining me now, we have writer for Damn Dirty Blog, currently planning a Christian Slater-themed party, Jordan Grout.
Hello!
So I mentioned this earlier, but I said we're going to talk about Bullet to the Head with, hopefully, Jordan Grout. And now Jordan Grout is here, so that's what we're going to do. This is the new Sylvester Stallone film. Which has Sylvester Stallone as an assassin who's teaming up with a cop played by Sung Kang from the Fast and Furious franchise, and basically they're people that hate each other because one's a cop and one's a racist hitman. But he's not really racist; he just makes Asian jokes because he's really good at those. Apparently,
he's very good at those. Almost good at killing people.
And lots of action mayhem ensues because evil Jason Momoa, Christian Slater, and I'm not even going to attempt his name because I don't.
Adewale Akinwunmi Adeyemi.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, or else I could have done it, but I don't have it. So they're all the bad guys in this movie. So with all that out of the way, Jordan, you wanted to talk about Bullet to the Head.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay. And I seriously don't know the answer to this. I'm not trying to be funny or anything. Why did the movie begin with the scene like later on in the movie where he shoots that one character and then it flashes back?
So the movie opens with like a In Media Res opening where you have like Sung Kang like in a car and like someone gets in the car and he's like about to shoot him, but then Stallone shows up and shoots that guy instead, and it's like, I just shot a cop or something like that, but it flies back. Because like, what's the regular opening? I don't know. I guess it's just them driving to the first hit they're gonna take, and
yeah, that would have been fine.
That didn't get you fired up seeing some random person get shot in the face, only to see Stallone emerge and be like,
when that happened, I thought, oh, okay, this is gonna be like some big moment in the film. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
it's
a really small moment.
It's one of those throwaway moments. And, like, you can pretty much see it coming. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that cop's probably going to get shot.
Yeah. Okay, did you see Parker? You didn't,
right? I did not see Parker, no. Did you?
Okay, this is not as bad as Parker.
Okay.
It's not as, like, wacko, horrible as Parker was. But it's still...
That sounds like it's saying a lot, because, I mean, Bullet to the Head is terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Although, okay, I found more redeeming qualities with Bullet to the Head than I did with Parker.
Okay.
One is the axe fight at the end, I felt, was a whole lot of fun. Like, I really had a blast watching that sequence.
I thought it'd be more fun if I could see the action happening, but Walter Hill decided to put the camera very close to everybody.
Okay, I still liked it, though. I thought it was kind of absurd.
I gave you that just because, yeah, he does have, what are we, Vikings? Like, he has...
dialogue
is cool. Jason Momoa is like, as long as he wasn't talking, I liked his presence, but the movie did, like, have a knack for, like, throwing the camera, like, giving him intense close-ups to show that he's the bad guy, but I just kept laughing because they kept doing it, like, every 5 minutes, like, here he is again, and he's just intensely staring at whatever the hell he's going after in that scene. It just kept making...
I do, like, a whole lot of, like, yellow-tinted freeze frames.
There was a lot of, like, Walter Hill,
random times.
Walter Hill was, like, trying to do something in this movie between his harmonica rock score and, like, all the different, like, fade-ins and fade-outs of his little touches of flair on the camera.
I feel like he watched Man on Fire and Domino, two Tony Scott films, and was like, this is what I'm going to do.
But what if they were set in the bayou? Stallone was like, yo,
you completely,
know,
like, nice. Misinterpreted, like, what Tony Scott was going for. And the dialogue, oh my god. Sylvester Stallone sounds so irritated delivering the narration.
The narration's terrible in this movie. Why this movie needs narration, I'm not sure, but Sylvester Stallone's not the guy that you want to be narrating your movie.
But there are so many gems in the narration, though. There are so many gems. Like, I'm not sure what your favorite is, but mine is definitely the last line in the movie. One of the last lines when he's like, I need a new car. So
which
I
comes out of nowhere. Like, at no point are you thinking, man, does he need money? And so, like, he never talks about a car at any point.
Yeah.
It's like, it's only just like, I had a car.
what's another line? Oh, when he's, he says something to what's his name? Sun Kang. He's like, why don't you just give him a Band-Aid and a lollipop? And it's like, wait, what? why would you say that? There's no reason for him to say that to that character at that moment.
How comfortable were you with Stallone's choice to, like, have a sauna sequence so he could show off his 66-year-old body?
Oh my god, his horribly, like, steroid body.
He's the embodiment of the Demolition Man at this point.
What was weird about that sequence is he goes over to the person that he's gonna kill, and he just starts caressing his body.
he replaces the masseur so he can, like, stealthily sneak up on this guy.
And once again, it's like, he was like, oh, Eastern Promises, that was a pretty cool knife fight in the sauna. I'm gonna one-up him. I'm gonna put a gun in here. But, okay, the build-up there, like, after he was oddly groping him, I thought, like, the tension there was sort of successful.
I keep wanting to compliment this movie for some reason. I'm just going to hold that it's terrible.
See, I feel like there were some redeeming qualities.
Name some of these redeeming qualities. So you have an axe fight. That's
okay, the axe fight. the bathroom fight in the bar.
That was okay. That was good. I'll give, because that was like close quarters. That made sense for it to be like shot like that. So I'll give you that play. That was a good. And because Jason Momoa like just runs away. He's like, oh no, he just gets out of.
After his head is like bashed, like bashes open a toilet. Even though he like just gingerly tapped the toilet, it rips apart. The toilet was made of styrofoam. I love how he kills his partner. Oh, spoilers.
That's what sets up this plot. Basically, Stallone and his partner, played by John Cena, they go out, they successfully take out a target they had. Who we'll get to that in a second, because that scene's kind of amazing also. But like, and so they go for their celebratory bar drink, and then like Jason Momoa is there, and you know he's there because the camera gives him like 16 close-ups. He's like, oh, there he is. Something bad's gonna happen. And then Jason Momoa, like after Stallone, I guess Momoa's whole plan involved Stallone having to need to go to the bathroom at some point. So he waited for Stallone to leave. Then he goes up to John Cena, takes out like this curved knife and stabs him like twice in one side and then twice in the other side.
And like third, it's not that crowded, the bar. And I was like,
yeah, it's like there's like four people in there.
No one saw this. But it would have been so much easier just like stab one in the neck and stab Stallone in the neck and just leave. But no, he wanted to get intimate with Stallone in the bathroom, knock his head over. So the bathroom fight I enjoyed. Okay, that's about it. That's about all I liked in the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed Christian Slater. He was killing it as over the top, like.
Yeah, but I always like Christian Slater. This
yeah, is that that's a thing you do?
Yeah, Slater's always somewhat fun. It's like Broken City Part 2 with the real estate plot.
I love that you decided to go, despite my like telling you not to see Broken City. You were insistent that this January release is going to be worth your time.
You know, I didn't hate Broken City. Okay. I kind of enjoyed it.
The thing is, I don't think that movie's hateable necessarily, because you take like 20 minutes of that movie and it's pretty good, because it's like well acted. But you put that movie all together, it's so uneventful. Like nothing.
Oh yeah.
There's no tension at all in the story of Broken City whatsoever.
That's true. But I just enjoyed watching all the actors.
Okay.
I like Russell Crowe. I like Wahlberg.
I like Russell Crowe's tan.
So, how can you not? That makes the movie. That should get an Oscar. And his dog, which I thought he was going to shoot at in the beginning. But anyway.
Getting back to
the
land deal for Bullet to the Head. Yeah, actually, the bad guy's plot's so boring in this movie, too. It's like, what does he want to do? He wants to rip down an old building and build up a new building. And then it's going to be popular because people are going to like to go to a new building. And the people are going to have jobs. It's like, is this really a bad plan? Well, the way he's going about getting it's a bad thing. So, yeah, he's a bad guy.
This was kind of what Werner Herzog was doing, right? In a Jack Reacher, wasn't it?
The Jack Reacher, yes, the Werner Herzog made it to.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, everyone's really, yeah, everyone's bad guy plot these days involves land deals. That's what it is now.
But okay, so you don't know why he's bad. He delivers the speech, his like Bond villain speech, yep. What he's doing, and then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah, you really got to listen the first time, or else you're not going to know why this guy's a bad guy.
Like, you could have just like left all that out and just be like, oh, he's bad because he's bad. Like, deal with it. Because it really wants to be an 80s movie. And so many of those 80s movies, oh, they're just bad, you know, for bad sake. Because they woke up one day and they felt like it. And there's really no reason for a whole bunch of them. It would have been so much better. Because at that moment, I was like, whoa. Is he talking about real estate? This is terrible.
Then it doesn't even matter. Because Jason Momoa is the one that's like the lead bad guy in this movie.
Yeah. And I love the warehouse. Big climax at the end when no one can find each other, yet everyone's like blowing up stuff and shooting. Like, this is not a huge warehouse. Like, follow the gunshots.
I love that everybody was in that warehouse, including every single major bat. Like the guy, like just the henchmen and Momoa could have been there, but no, they like apparently moved their base of operation from Christian Slater's like elaborate decadent house to this like crappy warehouse in South New Orleans.
And it's brilliant that what's Stallone's name? It's his name. Bonomo or something like
Jimmy Bonomo. James Bonomo, but people call him Jimmy Bobo.
how he has everything rigged. Every piece of property he has is rigged with an explosive device.
In case he ever needed to use it, and he had to use it. Jason Momoa is that slave.
I was waiting for Sun Kang to just explode at one point. Everything is rigged.
He captures Sun Kang, and he's like holding a gun to his head. He's like, oh, you got my partner, huh? But I guess you didn't get you didn't expect this to happen. Then he blows him up. You can't just kill a guy like that.
Like, okay, so he blows up his house. Mm-hmm. He blows up his car. Oh, that's why he needs a car, because he blew it up at the end.
Layered, I see.
Oh, this movie makes so much sense. See, it's the type of movie you got to see again.
Yeah, because of all the layers. So on the Taken 2, is this better or worse than Taken 2? Our previous tag collaboration.
I would I'd rather watch this again than Taken 2.
Are you sure?
Yeah, but okay. Here's the thing: I wouldn't watch either of them alone. Like if
yeah,
I were.
That's true. See, that was my review of Bullets in the Head. I would never watch it alone. But like, because it's terrible, and even in right. watching with people, it doesn't get less terrible. But at least you'd have more of an entertaining time, which I did.
Yeah, I would even watch Bullets in the Head again if it was with a group of people. Like, oh, let's watch this movie.
I don't know, though. I mean, Liam Neeson yelling at his daughter during that driving sequence. That's pretty fantastic. That's maybe one of the best.
I don't know.
That's maybe
one of the best. There's more.
I'm pretty sure there's like a scene from Kinsey, three scenes from The Grey, a scene from Schindler's List, like two scenes from Schindler's List, a scene from Love Actually, because he's pretty good in that movie, too, and then Batman Begins. But then Taken to car chasing.
But you didn't see Parker. Parker is the best movie to watch. Well, the year just began. But yeah, this year.
Is all of Parker great or just the scenes where he's playing a Texan?
All of Parker is
okay.
Imagine the scenes we just discussed.
Okay.
But for a full hour and a half.
Well, I mean, it can't be better than Crank and Crank 2, though.
Well, I mean, it's not as, like, over-the-top, like, eccentric, like, Crank.
Okay.
It's a very, like, horribly directed film, which makes it so wacky.
From director of Ray Taylor Hackford, he made a bad film?
Oh, Devil's Advocate, it's Taylor Hackford.
Blood In, Blood Out's Taylor Hackford couldn't make a great Jason Statham action movie. Am I just the first person to reference Blood In, Blood Out in, like, 17 years?
I'm sure Taylor Hackford discusses it to his wife every night.
While she was making Hitchcock, he was like, remember when Blood In, Blood Out? Yeah. When I was like, hey, we got to...
And Merritt. Remember that one scene of Blood In, Blood Out?
I'm
done with talking about Blood In, Blood Out.
Helen Mirren, because that's what I call my wife, if you need some advice on how to make Red 2 work, look at my movie Blood In, Blood Out.
It's like, hey, did you see Parker? It's time for me to direct Red 2. No, but you've got to see Parker. We've got to record a commentary on Parker.
I feel like
Parker,
there's several Statham movies that we could easily do commentaries for at some point.
See, Parker is the best.
I don't know. I mean, remember War with Jet Li? I mean,
I never saw
War, it. War, which is part two. How many? He's done so many Jet Li movies, like the one, two Expendable movies.
Didn't he do No, he wasn't in that Romeo and Juliet.
No, he wasn't in Romeo Must Die. No, he was.
No. Okay, that's right. Yeah. I thought he was in something else though.
I think War. that's the cream of the crop right there. So Jet Li, Jason Statham collaborations. The one's all right, but you know, War. Mainly because Jason Statham has the part in the trailer where he says, "We're going to war."
I don't remember that in the trailer.
Don't worry about it. You'll recall it when we see the commentary.
We gotta do a double feature.
Double feature. Parker and War.
But I feel like
How's Michael Chiklis in War? In Bullet to the Head.
Oh, Michael Chiklis needs an Oscar. His performance in Parker is the greatest thing you'll ever see in your life. And I can't go into.
I love how we never make these hyperbolic statements in these bonus tags that we do. Clearly, you're telling completely the truth, and there's nothing. It actually is the greatest things I could see in theaters are these things you're describing to me.
Complete strangers who've never met me who are listening to this. Yeah. Chiklis and Parker, the greatest thing you'll ever see in your life.
It's basically The Shield, Fantastic Four 2, Parker. That's what it is.
Right? Michael Chiklis. He used to be considered a good actor, right?
I don't think he stopped being a good actor.
Never know that after seeing Parker. Okay. If you had never seen a Michael Chiklis role and you saw Parker, you would walk out and say, "You're lying to me. He's never given a good performance." he is incapable.
That's not possible.
But
bull to the head.
Yeah, bull to the head. I feel like it's like it could have been an hour episode of one of those like C grade like TNT cop shows. It's just so formulaic, and it really is longer than it needs to be. It could have been just like an hour show.
Yeah, that's what it could.
And I read how much the movie cost, and I was blown away because it looks like it was made for $10. What was it, like $45 million or something like that?
I don't care. But it was expensive apparently, and long is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and I'm glad it only made like 50 cents at the box office.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't do well. Neither did Bullet to the Head.
Oh, I was talking about Bullet to the Head.
Oh, sorry. I lost track. I lost track of the Parker Chiklis Bullet to the Head conversation.
Yeah, Bullet to the Head feels like it could have been.
It could have been much shorter. It could have been a lot of things. What it really is, it's a lot of driving in cars around and explaining things with exposition.
Yeah.
A lot of
what was the movie about again? Because they're just driving around for an hour and 30 minutes.
If you took all that out, there'd be like 15 minutes of incomprehensible action. But it'd be at least some of it would be decent, I guess.
And the film only takes place over it seems like a day.
It's like a weekend. It's like a weekend trip. They visit his daughter. They visit his daughter, played by Sarah Shaw, who covered her in tattoos. And then
he makes a little crack about the tattoo girl and Stone's like, "Oh, that's my daughter."
And then they kill Christian Slater, and then they get Jason Momoa is like, "I'm angry," and then they have a fight, and so it's a pretty tight weekend.
But if you want to watch Stallone try on some masquerade masks, there's a wacky montage.
Just like there was, Jordan, you just had montage fever this weekend because there was a montage of wearing sunglasses and warm bodies, one of your favorite movies of the year, if not the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And then they had the montage of Stallone wearing masks for his Eyes Wide Shut tribute party that he was going to later that night.
Imagine it's just like the montage in Django Unchained when he's trying all the clothes.
Exactly. There's a scene in Bullet to the Head where Stallone and Sung Kang are supposed to infiltrate Christian Slater's lavish decadent house, and to do that, they have to go to this like fancy party that looks like something out of Eyes Wide Shut, and so they have to go. They go to a mask shop in New Orleans, and you just see a montage of Stallone trying on different masks that he could wear to this like fancy burlesque party, which has like naked women walking around with hors d'oeuvres on their hands and things. It's like it's nonsense.
But everyone else has an actual costume with the mask. They walk up with like a torn, bloody shirt,
jeans on, probably sandals or Crocs. I imagine Stallone is probably wearing Crocs.
Out of place at this party.
And he's also, you know, a 66-year-old man with like giant arms, but no one really says.
And he can barely move too. It's kind of sad watching him move about. That's probably why they had to do all those fast cuts.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, how can this man who took steroids for so many years function?
Did you notice this one scene? Because I saw this with a friend of the show, Scott Mendelson. There was one scene where towards the end of the last battle where Sung Kang's like fighting one guy where he's like, they're fist fighting because they like drop their guns or whatever. And like the one guy swings, misses, and kills himself by throwing himself over the railing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh my god, I completely forgot about that.
And you know he lands hard because the next shot you see of him is like fucking brains are splattered all over the ground.
I was wondering if that's what happened.
Yeah,
or if it was just poor editing.
No, it was like he swings and misses and like his momentum just throws himself over the railing of this bar and falls down and dies.
Oh my god. Okay, good. So I'm glad.
And it was I was kind of like, did that just say that Scott looks like, he's like, did that guy just kill himself? And I was like, I guess so. because he was a good cop. He didn't want to kill anybody, even though he's an accessory to Stallone's murders throughout the movie.
I know, right? Like, he just turns the other way, the other cheek.
It's like, but no, he just has the same line. As much as Don Cheadle says he killed the Tox report in flight, Sung Kang constantly says, "All right, I'll let this one slide, but I'm gonna take you in when this is all over." Like, he says that like every single time.
And then there was something. I love the whole exchange at the end with him in the hospital, and he's like, "Oh well, someone was getting close to me, or so, like when you were asleep," and then the daughter walks in, and it's just so stupid.
Yeah, it's not a good movie. So with all that said, let's get to our rating for Bullet to the Head.
IMAX.
IMAX, yeah. Our scale, IMAX theater, Dollar Theater, Netflix, HBO TV. Forget about it. You'd put it in IMAX. That's what you're saying.
I'd put it TV with friends. See, that's. I don't care where you see it. Just don't see it alone.
Yeah, I would say
see it with people that.
If it's making its like HBO premiere, which it, you know, it will in HD. Watch that with friends.
March.
Yeah. Month after. Yeah, that's when you can go and see it. That's the time.
And there are a lot of Asian jokes in this film.
There's a lot of people making fun of Asians. Yeah.
There was this old couple. And the man was, like, applauding and howling after each Asian joke. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable here. Like, this man is enjoying these jokes far too much.
He's like, that's true. That's how he yells, right? That's true.
It's funny because it's fact.
They don't drive well. What? What, old man? What's this?
He's like, they're tight.
Okay.
It's like, geez, old man.
Lord's knocking out these one-liners, man. He's got them. Expendables 3, let's do it.
So let me ask you, between The Last Stand, Parker, Bullet to the Head, flopping at the box office, do you think this will affect Die Hard?
I would say no, just because it's Die Hard's a franchise. It's a
built-in audience.
And I think as much as... It could, you know, it shows a sign of, like, people accepting these kind of R-rated action throwbacks. At the same time, Willis hasn't faded from the audience's eye. Like, right. Schwarzenegger, you know, he's been in office for the past, like, what, decade. And Stallone, mm-hmm. like, try as he might, it's not, like, an Expendables film or something that he has someone else to work with that, you know, has a bigger name than Sung Kang. I mean, he's not been opening features by himself. He's had DTV pictures of his own, direct-to-video pictures of his own. So, I mean,
yeah.
Willis... is, you know, he still stars in movies yearly in more than one. So it's like, yeah. people aren't being like, oh, I remember Bruce Willis. They're like, oh, there's Willis again. Like, so yeah, he's gonna kill it with Die Hard.
Yes, that's how I feel.
I mean, it may not be 3D post converted in PG-13, but he's still gonna kill it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. But I've had discussions with people who have said otherwise.
I can certainly see Fox quivering a bit, being like, maybe we should have the PG-13 Die Hard. But no, I think Die Hard's set.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they haven't postponed it so they can give it a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, that's nice. And I'm glad that our competence in Flight of the Phoenix and Jesus, what Behind Enemy Lines director John Moore.
The Omen.
The Omen and Max Payne director John Moore is just going to just light it on fire, I'd imagine.
Max Payne.
Much like Len Wiseman's best film is Die Hard 4, I'm pretty sure John Moore's best film is going to be Die Hard 5.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. His best film is Die Hard 4.
And those bars aren't exactly that high. So. All right. So, Jordan, we got to wrap up here.
Okay.
So, because this is a whole extra half hour we've added onto this podcast episode now. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Jordan, where can people find more of your work?
You can go to Twitter at AmsterdamChap, or you can go to damndirtyblog.blogspot.com.
Great. Thank you for talking about Michael Chiklis' breathtaking performance in Parker and Stallone's.
That's the thing you'll see.
Yeah, and Bullet to the Head, which we should also definitely see 17 months from now with friends. All right.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Yeah.
The world is a vampire. Santa Jane. We'll be right back.
the cutest babies.
So yeah, they did.
How did that even mix?
I gotta get a job.